Hi, podcast listeners. Lost in the Stacks broadcasts on WREK Atlanta from the campus of Georgia Tech every Friday at noon. Thanks for joining us through the internet. And if you have a moment, let us know how you found us, how you're listening, and what you like. We are always trying to improve and expand. Enjoy the show.
Speaking of new, weren't you supposed to take your fake high school girlfriend to the library a half hour ago?
What? It's like 6 in the morning.
Weird.
What's weird?
Libraries remind me of grade school.
That must seem like a really long time ago.
Yeah, let's talk about something else.
You are listening to WREK Atlanta, and this is Lost in the Stacks, the Research Library rock and roll radio show. It could be the one and only, it might be the original, I never know. I'm Charlie Bennett, I'm in the studio with Emmy Decker, and where is Fred? Where is Wendy?
You know, these people just left us.
They just don't...
We're on our own.
They don't care about this work that we're doing. No, they care. They care a lot. All right. I am on the board, as you might have already guessed. I am wondering if high school prepared me for this. Each week on the show, oh, that was our guest. He's talking out of turn. Oh. Each week on this show, we pick a theme and then use it to create a mix of music and library talk. Whichever you're here for, we hope you dig it.
Today's show is called Report from K through 12. K through 12 meaning kindergarten through the end of high school.
A time of great growth and potential when young minds are set aflame by enthusiastic teachers.
And by puberty. What? Just saying.
Yeah. Our guest today is a media specialist from a local high school who will be giving us the report from K through 12. Are the kids all right? And are they ready for college?
Our songs today are all about growing up, change for the better, and learning and making new things. Today, we're going to find out how school librarians will be there to help students make the next big thing, to help them learn the next big thing, and to help them be the next big thing.
I see where you're going.
See where I'm going? You like that trend? So let's start with, of course, The Next Big Thing by The Dictators, right here on Lost in the Stacks.
I don't have to be here, you know. I don't have to show up here with my best financial holdings. I could have been basking in the sun in Florida.
That was The Next Big Thing, I guess a live version, from The Dictators. Today's show is called Report from K-12, and we are joined in the studio by Tim Nielsen, a media specialist at Marietta High School. Tim, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
You're so glad to be here. Thank you so much.
Good afternoon. Thank you. Yeah. Good afternoon. I'm very happy to be here. Thanks for having me, Charlie.
You're a longtime listener, first-time guest.
Yes. Yeah, I love the show. I tune in when I can. You know, it's a busy school day, and you can't always get it turned on in the middle of the lunch block. But yeah, I listen when I can.
Thank you for being here. So first things first, it's a library radio show. Media specialists and librarians, media centers and libraries, same, same.
That's
or
us.
Same but different.
You know, just this morning, I went into our historical room to find out for sure when we first started using that expression at Marietta High School.
Did you say the historical room?
We have the historical room, not unlike the archives that you shared earlier this morning.
Got it.
We have our historical room where we have yearbooks dating back to, I think, 1915.
1915.
Yeah, 1915. Yeah, that's the earliest yearbook that we have.
Are those in sealed boxes?
No, and I should probably have gloves on when I work with them, but I don't get me started on that.
But you found out when you first started using the term.
Yes, 1981, and it even says, in this age of modernity, they're now called media specialists.
Wow.
No longer librarians.
Okay.
Do you have
name
a
change.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a personal feeling about that?
It depends on to whom I'm speaking. I find that if I tell someone outside of education that I'm a media specialist, and maybe it's because of my gender, they assume that I'm the technology guy.
Mm.
And so I find it usually easier to tell people that I'm a librarian. And then they usually say something smart about,
oh, so you like teach the Dewey Decimal System all day?
And I said, actually, yeah, we do use the Dewey Decimal System in our libraries.
I have a packaged answer for, hey, that Dewey, he was something, wasn't he? I was like, yeah, he was a crazy person.
He was. Yeah, he was. Did you read the part about his misspellings or the way he wanted to change spelling?
Oh, yeah. Melville is spelled over. Anyway, we're off the board.
Yeah, off the board. But as far as media specialist versus librarian, I do agree that the term is, I guess, probably more descriptive because we're not a singular library. Library in term – or library kind of implies a storage of a single medium, whereas in the media center – and I guess any library now, microfiche, microfilm, whatever media you're storing, it's usually more than one.
Right.
So I do appreciate that it is, you know, media plural and not just a library of a singular type of media.
Yeah, and that's going to come back, I think, later in the show.
I think so, yeah.
So you have been a media specialist or a teacher in high schools and elementary schools for almost 20 years, and you've earned degrees in technology, education, and instructional technology.
Correct.
Which are two different things.
They are, yeah.
What do you see as the primary function of the grade school or high school media center? What are you trying to accomplish there?
Yeah, so I have my canned answer for that one. Our job is to support the entire instructional program, to work with all of the students, all of the teachers, all of the administrators, everyone who's in the building. It's our job to support them. And the I really like that in Georgia, there's two kind of certificates. There's the T certificate and the S certificate. When I was in North Carolina, my media specialist certificate said T for teacher. But in Georgia, it actually says S for service.
Oh.
So, there's a little bit of a difference between the certifications for librarians and teachers in Georgia. But the S, I like that it says service because we're there to serve everybody. And, you know, everybody talks about customer service now as a librarian. And as long as I've been a librarian, that's something I've always tried to apply. So
we always ask everybody who comes in here who's a librarian, was this a childhood dream or something that you fell into by happenstance?
I totally fell into it. I didn't know I was going to be a teacher. I met a professor in education one summer when I was at the University of Georgia, and he shared with me that the one subject that I would want to teach in high school, technology education, where I got to teach drafting and woodworking, electronic circuitry. I was already building my own electric guitars. I was making my own skateboards and skateboard ramps. I was drawing skateboard ramps. I would teach drafting and engineering stuff. So I was already making stuff. And when he shared with me that there were no technology education teachers and that teachers, and this was, of course, the later 90s, and teachers' pay was actually going up, and it was a relatively, you know, it was a good field to be in. So I said, all right, I'll do that. So I became a teacher. But the more time I spent in the classroom as a technology teacher, I saw so many more people from the school. Hey, Tim, I just got this new camera thing for my classroom. I don't know how to use it. Students would come to my classroom. Mr. Nielsen, can I use your stuff to make my stuff? I know I'm not in your class, but I want to use your stuff. So I found myself working with all of the teachers, all of the students. Administrators would come down and ask me to help out with events. And so I was having to give grades and create assignments and give lessons and all these things that teachers do. And I said to myself, where can I be where I can do all those things and work with all those people and not be burdened mm-hmm. by teaching? And giving grades and doing attendance and, you know, doing discipline. And it was the library. So that's why I am where I am now, because I do, as I said, it is the job of the library to work with everyone.
And so it can't possibly be to do everything that everyone needs. So what's your range? You know, what are the outer limits of what the media center can serve?
I think if they asked me to like clean the toilets, I'd probably have to draw that line.
Right.
But
what if there was a book stuffed in there?
See how far I can get my arm up there. Oh man! But anyway, you know, we run the sound at the pep rallies. Yesterday the dance teacher was having an event in the theater and she needed some special audio connection. So I went down there to help her out. But then we also have our technology specialists at our school. They're, you know, technicians and they fix the computers and they fix the printers and, you know, that's their job. So if someone comes to me with a technical issue, I do what I can to help them. But then, you know, if it's clearly, you know, all right, that's the guy's job. We'll let them work with it. So we do everything we can. Yeah, we do everything we can to support the program. And I guess if it has a plug or pages, we do our best to help.
Well, there's a t-shirt.
Yeah, so but you know, we teach classes, we'll go into classrooms to, you know, teach proper MLA formatting, to teach research skills, to teach research techniques. Teachers will schedule to have their classes come down to the library, and we're giving lessons and as much as any other teacher. Guys, this is the MLA format. This is APA format. This is how you properly cite things. This is how you create note cards, or this is how you create electronic note cards. These are this is how you navigate, you know, our research websites, our databases. This is how you use Control F.
Right.
I was talking to a, I think they may have been juniors. I know they were at least sophomores. And I said, and you guys, you can just hit Control F. And I could tell there was this, you know, blank stare across all their faces. And I, do you guys know Control F? And a couple nods. I was like, all right, here we go. And you just start to understand. And you forget they're still very, very young. And you forget how much you know, even just by your age or your education, whatever. You forget where they are sometimes. And you kind of got to come back. But that's our job. That's what we do.
As the very last thing in this segment, I think you have to explain Control F in 20 seconds or left.
Control F, when you're on a website in any browser, hold down Control and tap the F key on your keyboard. A pop-up will appear where you can enter a term in the field, and the browser will find that term on the page by highlighting it.
Awesome. I hope somebody learned something today.
Well, we aim to educate.
I was afraid somebody thought I was just trying to get away with cussing on the radio. Control F.
Our guest today is Tim Nielsen, a media specialist at Marietta High School in Marietta, Georgia. We'll be back after this music set.
Woo!
You can file this set under LB 1613.13. No, that's an I. I3, I4.
Oh, man.
You just heard Dignified and Old by the Modern Lovers.
Modern Lovers!
Which is one of Tim's favorites. As well as Rock and Roll High School by the Ramones. Songs about fun in high school and thoughts of growing up.
Our guest today is very happy with the music. Today's show is called Report from K-12, and we are talking about high school media centers and punk rock with Tim Nielsen, a media specialist at Marietta High School. So one of the sort of key connections that we made was you created a makerspace in Marietta High School's media center.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about it. Like, what do you do there? What's going on?
Man, I got to talk about Jonathan Richmond first. I got to talk about Jonathan. I met him a couple years ago here at the Goat Farm.
Oh my.
And I asked him, he lives in San Francisco. So this is, like I said, this was a couple years ago. I had asked him if he was throwing rocks at the Google buses. He wasn't. And he didn't. And then I asked him, he told me he needs to get the Modern Lovers back together. And he didn't like that very much.
Yeah.
And now I got to talk about the Ramones, because it's going to come back to the question you asked me in the last segment. The Ramones. When I was in high school, there was this kid, and he wrote on the back of his jacket, the Ramones, but he spelled it wrong, and he spelled it the Remones. So now every time I talk about the Remones, I got to say the Remones. But better than that, talking about the question, like, when do you draw the line? Where do you not do? Like, I said we want to support the whole school, and like, what will you not do? Well, something that we did do one time, at the talent show, a student asked us to back him up on a song. So my band at the time, the Monument Club, with Joey and Lee, who are both librarians, as it turns out, that's who should be on your show, is the Monument Club.
Named we'll have after, to track it down, yeah.
Yeah, please do, please do. With our Guided by Voices reference band name. But yeah, Sam, he was a really interesting kid. He was a Liberian refugee, believe it or not. But he asked us to back him up at the talent show. So our band came in and we played Rock and Roll High School in a high school. Yeah. But yeah, we'll do that. But if we can do it, that's what we do. We're not going to clean toilets, but we will back somebody up at the talent show.
I feel like the media center is the Venn diagram intersection between academic libraries and public libraries. Right? Because a public library is sort of whatever the community needs in terms of expression, right?
Absolutely.
And then academic libraries are, this is our research, you know, community. But then the media center, you've got kind of a burgeoning community. People trying to find themselves, but also trying to do the work of their school.
Yeah, we try to offer as many opportunities as we can to students. And I'll segue back into the makerspace with this too. We try to offer all the opportunities that we can. One opportunity that we offer once a month, we host Cafe Libre in the library, and we transform the library into a coffee shop. The circulation desk becomes a coffee bar. We have an open mic stage, and students can get up there and perform. They bring their ukulele or guitar or their book of poetry.
Open food policy?
No, and we sell coffee and treats.
Okay.
But yeah, they can, and but it's like 50 cents for a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, a cup of hot chocolate. And Sonny Harding's been helping me out with that a lot. Appreciate that, Sonny. But it's an open mic stage, so all these students, the first time they've ever performed, and they can get up there, and I like to say that it's like a talent show without any auditions. So, offer those opportunities. And public libraries are doing the same. There's a brand new library that opened up in Cobb County. James Mitchell brought me in. He's the librarian up there, and he's doing open mics there, because not only is they built a library, but they built a black box theater inside it. There's this beautiful amphitheater that's outside of it. And inside, there's even music and video studios. And it's attached to the cultural center, where they have a pottery studio. They teach classes. They do like comic book writing workshops. And that's what public libraries are starting to do. What else can we do to engage the community? I know it's always been somewhere you pick up your tax forms, but what else can you do where you can work with everybody?
And
as I mentioned, being in a school library, we try to work with everybody, and that's what public libraries are trying to do.
So I feel like we just contextualized your makerspace. Like, it's just one piece of the larger sort of all the venues, all the mediums, all the sort of all the practices that students might engage in,
right?
Artistic or not.
Yeah.
The makerspace, it's a hip thing, right? It's almost a fad at this point.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody has opinions about maker culture and all that.
And when I hear that, I have to be honest, I think 3D printers. But then you're talking about stand up and open mic, and that's a whole nother level of it.
Well, it's cool. It's funny you mentioned 3D printers, because that's how it happened. As long as I've been a librarian, I've always wanted to put a maker space in my library, but I could never justify it. Can't put a wood shop in a library. I didn't call it a makerspace at the time, but I envisioned this room where there were tools.
A workshop, a studio.
Yep. Yeah. Because as long as we've had school libraries, this is my pitch, as long as we've had school libraries, we've had opportunities for media production, but they've always been two-dimensional. 50 years ago, that was where you could go use the opaque projector to make a poster,
right?
Two-dimensional. Mm-hmm. You would use tape recorders. You could edit film. A lot of times the dark room was in there for the school yearbook. But it was always for media production, but that media production was always two-dimensional. So I always said, why can't you have a space for three-dimensional media in a library? There was no way I was going to be able to convince an administrator to do that. And I could hardly convince myself that it belonged in a library. But then as 3D printers came out into the commercial market, school libraries, public libraries, oh, it's a printer, we should have one of these. And because 3D printers were developed by the maker community.
Do you feel like it was as simple as that? It's a printer, we need printers, or?
It's new technology. It's new, it's shiny, we got to get it. And so, but as they came out and school libraries and public libraries were introduced to 3D printers, they were also introduced to the maker community and maker spaces. And so they started hearing about what all this was and said, okay, maybe we need a maker space. And Laura, my co-librarian, she's great. She's wonderful. And we had talked about it before, and we had both kind of agreed, yeah, we can't put a wood shop in our library. And then one day she came into school with a maker space playbook published by Make Magazine and said, hey, here, I think this might be what you're talking about. I said, I think it is. And so we're flipping through it. And sure enough, when there's a list of equipment that you should have, bandsaw, drill press,
right,
sewing machine. I was like, this is what
I'm
talking about.
And then you had your citation.
Yeah, this is exactly what I want to do. And so she said, let's do it. So, Laura and I came together and we went to the principal. Can we have some money? And the principal at the time, Ms. Colburn, was so generous, and she had them put a sink in our room. It was a big deal. And it's not a very big room. It's only like 15 by 16, but it has everything you need in there to create whatever you can envision. Students,
and you have to have noticed an uptick in use in the media center since all this went in.
Absolutely. And and the demographic is crazy. It's everybody. And we have a very diverse school, financially, racially, the entire demographic, just all over the place. And it's been all of those students that come in. And I've done that many, but I'll do after school workshops. But for the most part, it's student centered. It's self-directed. They got to figure it out. And some students will do things for classes, and other students will just do it for themselves. Electric guitars, handbags, skateboards, cosplay. It's all there for them to come in and just whatever. I got to say this real quick.
It comes back
to reading. Because it is self-directed, because it is student-centered, they got to figure it out. And we got a ton of books for making, and it will make them read it and teach themselves.
Awesome. Our guest today is Tim Nielsen, a media specialist at Marietta High School. We'll be back with more from Tim on the left side of this hour.
This is Strong Bad, and I'm pouring some yam sauce on my stacks. Because you're lost in the stacks on WREK Atlanta. The Hard FM.
I still don't understand Strong Bad, but I'm glad he's here. Today's show is called Report from K-12, and I'd like to read a quote from one of my favorite writers, Garrett Kaiser. He taught high school for a long time, and he wrote about it on several occasions. This is from his book, Getting Schooled, The Re-Education of an American Teacher. And I should warn you, Garrett sounds angry even when he's being optimistic. We inculcate in our children the sensibilities of raccoons, a fascination with shiny objects and an appetite for garbage, and then carp about the texting generation, as if 13 and 14-year-olds who couldn't boil an egg are capable of creating a culture. They grow on what we feed them. It has never been otherwise. The only thing that changes is the food. File this set under HV9104.S3. That was Ease Your Feet Into the Sea by Belle and Sebastian, and Some Kind of Love by the Velvet Underground.
Yeah, it was.
Those were songs that are guest-like. No, those were songs about coming to understand your environment and improving it.
Today's show is called Report from K-12, and our guest is the high school media specialist, Tim Nielsen. For the last segment today, we thought we'd like to bring some college libraries into the mix.
We kind of rang the academic library bell a little bit. But, Tim, you were telling me about the Learning Commons model, which is very prevalent in academic libraries.
Yep.
Appears to be a recapitulation of the Media Center.
Yep. Yeah, it's been really interesting to watch because it's, you know, the tastemakers in school libraries kind of throw things out there occasionally. And as we mentioned earlier, you know, the buzz behind makerspaces, that was certainly it for a handful of years. Now we're all talking about learning commons. We got to transform our library into a learning commons. And if you ask me, if the library has been run correctly, that's really what it should have always been.
Can you explain? So a lot of the folks that are listening to this show right now are not in the profession and don't have the jargon.
Oh yeah.
So can you real quick do a compare and contrast?
So when you think about it, when you think about a library, a traditional library, it is a building full of books, maybe microfilm, microfiche, tapes, records, CDs, whatever. That's what a library is. It's a place for collecting stuff. And when I was at the University of Georgia, that's what the library was. There may have been tables and carrels for studying independent study, maybe working with a small group, but that was it.
And this is when you were a student there at UGA?
Yeah. And, you know, you didn't go in there to ask, can I check out a microphone? Can I check out a camera? Can I use your markers?
It was just books.
Yeah, it was to get books. And, you know, you tried to ask a librarian, why are you asking me? I'd go to wherever you need to go to get that. That's what it was for. And that's cool, and that's fine. But then it was, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s, computers were really becoming a thing. And libraries started saying to themselves, okay, well, I guess we need to have a space for computers in our library. Maybe a lab should be incorporated. And a couple libraries, California and Iowa, said to themselves, what else can we do? And they started thinking about incorporating not only places for individual study, but for larger group study, maybe even areas for instruction where, you know, professors, whoever, could come and work with small groups. Furniture that was more conducive to those things, movable furniture, production services, cameras available for checkout, studios available to use.
Yeah, this all sounds very familiar, Emmy.
It does.
Yeah,
yes.
And then let's put a coffee shop in here too. So, and that's kind of what Learning Commons became. You know, like I said, reorienting the spaces, recreating spaces with furniture that was movable and modular, that could be recreated as new spaces for whatever the activity dictated. And in a school library, that's what we've always been doing. And I think I mentioned this morning, the yearbooks, the 1948 yearbook, that's where they had the staff meeting in right. 1948. And, you know, they got to move the tables around in the library. Teachers were coming in to teach their whole classes how to do things. It's where teachers came down to check out film strips, to it's where the AV club was. I had the 1979 yearbook today, and the AV club is in there, and they're fixing projectors. And so it was a space. It's always been a space for production. It's always been this space for common learning and this learning commons. And so I don't think that university libraries said, what are they doing in school libraries? I think they said, what are we doing? What else can we do that happens to be similar to what we've been doing in school libraries? So it is a little ironic that here now in school library, we have to do what they're doing in colleges. No, we've been doing it.
All right. But the trappings are turning – the trappings are more like college now. Like the particular materials in there, or the particular, you know, kinds of activities, or the like, the 3D printer,
right?
Like that was in university libraries first, and then kind of came back to high school. But the ethos was already there.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think when I look at my library and how I've always tried to run my library, it has always been a part of that model. The only thing that I would like to do differently is have all of our furniture on wheels, so then we can really move things around. The tables in our library now are in such bad shape because they've been, you know, dragged around the library so many times, or wobbling apart. So yeah, I would love to have my furniture on wheels. And gratefully, when you open these, you know, library supply catalogs, all the tables are now on wheels.
I'm pretty sure Charlie and I could fill you in on all the furniture meetings we've been to.
Oh, I'm sure.
We got stuff on wheels. We got tabletops on hinges.
Yeah, we do.
And it needs to be lime green. Lime green.
Oh, hey, the carpet in the library store is lime green. I'm ahead on that one. Yeah. Excellent. I had no idea. Look at this.
Now, lime green is coming back.
It's cool. It's a cool color. It looks good.
So, Tim, we're headed to the end of the segment. So yeah. I want to get some high altitude real quick.
Hi, Max. Hi, Josie. Hi,
there
Kim.
You go. Very nice. Got to slip that in. What does the media center need to do, if there is anything that needs to do differently, to get students more prepared for college? Because one of my questions was going to be, you know, how does it fit into the sort of the flow? But since it is the same kind of ethic in the library
right.
at school and the media center in high school, it doesn't seem like you have to change how you do things. What do you have to add if you want to get the kids more ready for college?
And that's a challenge that everybody has, like even starting at kindergarten up to 12, because we want to be a part of the program. And some of the challenges that we're having, especially, you know, in K-5, how do we get those students down to the library sometimes? In a lot of districts, the debate is fixed versus flexible scheduling. I'll share that with our listeners. That's the issue for K-5 libraries. When they go to the library, is it a fixed schedule? Every Tuesday at 10 o'clock, Ms. Smith's kindergarten class goes to the library. Or is it just they come down whenever
right.
you know they want to schedule time? Is it a part of the specials rotation where one day they have PE, music,
is
art,
it a class
computer.
Period?
Right.
Yeah.
And so that there's a big toss up there. And I do like the flexible model. I would love to see every teacher in a K-5 school say, my class every week on Tuesday at 3 o'clock or 1 o'clock, we're going to the library for our time. We're going to check out books. But as you've heard about standards and test scores and, you know, a lot of teachers are that focused that they feel like they don't have the time to take their students to the library. And thank you, Ms. Mosley, for sharing that one with us. So that's a challenge, is like getting them into the library, especially in K-5 and in K-12, doing the same thing, because it's optional. Going to the library so often is so optional. Unless like your teacher schedules time, students aren't going to come. And those teachers aren't going to schedule time if they don't like you. So
that is not what I expected.
So I mean, it's because it's customer service. It's yeah. having those relationships. It's all about relationships. I know that sounds cliche, but it's all about having those relationships with the other teachers in the building, with the administration, so everyone knows that you're an option. They want to come to you. There is it's a stereotype, but it's there for a reason about librarians being unpleasant people and
what?
Not wanting school school librarians. Excuse
Certainly
me.
Not academic.
No,
librarians.
School librarians, of course. But I mean, you think back, like, you know, the crusty old lady in the library. You know what? She's mean. She tells you to shush. I don't want to be around her. That was my high school library. I never went into the school library, and I never went with a teacher because our teacher never scheduled those opportunities. So I never went into there. In fact, I came to University of Georgia libraries because we had our 11th grade research paper. We had to write this 20-page research paper, and they put us all the juniors in the school on a bus and drove us to campus and let us go to the library to do research. It was pretty great. So
so I have to shut you down now.
Go for it.
So they're
relationships. But there that's how you do it. Yeah. Students and teachers.
There you go. You did. I was going to say, so sum it up, but you nailed it.
Yeah, students definitely. We have too many students in there all the time.
Our guest today is Tim Nielsen, a media specialist at Marietta High School in Marietta, Georgia. Tim, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. I had a great time. Super, super great. And I'm loving the music, man. Keep it coming.
This is a very special set that you can file under Z675.S3G565. Oh. That was 63 Inches by The Private Pageant. And before that, Snowball in Hell by They Might Be Giants. Oh, I don't think I'm supposed to say that on air. And Watch Me Jumpstart by Guided by
yeah.
Voices. Those are songs about the initiative to make something in spite of obstacles, as well as a song that our guest
made. Isn't
that
cool?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
So The Private Pageant, that's your band.
The Private Pageant, yes, that's fronted by Timothy Exit. Timothy Exit produced.
Who looks just like you?
I understand there are a lot of similarities between me and myself and Timothy Exit. And yeah, those songs were all produced by Timothy and performed with a live band with Sonny and Michael and Sean. And the four fellas are all very excited to perform at a public library.
Nice.
No less. Yes, on February 14th. The Private Pageant will be performing at 7 or 8 p.m., and we would love to see everyone there at a free all-ages show on February 17th with The Private Pageant at the Sewell Mill Library and Cultural Center in Cobb County.
Well done. Also, be sure you just Google Private Pageant to find out all about them. Our show today was called Report from K through 12. We talked about media centers, high school, makerspaces, and my old enemy, college preparatory training.
We also got a tutorial in punk rock and a reminder of how public, academic, and media centers all serve the same purpose in different ways for different people. Same, same, but different, or different, same, same?
Same, same, or same, but different. All right. It's time to roll the credits, so we'll see you in study hall. Lost in the Stacks is a collaboration between WREK Atlanta and the Georgia Tech Library, produced by me, Charlie Bennett, Wendy Hagenmeyer, Fred Rasko, and Emmy Decker. I was our engineer today, and the show was sponsored in part by The Collective, a library conference designed to create collaborations between next-generation academic librarians, that's us, archivists, and library staff.
Find out more at thelibrarycollective.org.
Legal counsel and an SAT prep session were provided by the Burris Intellectual Property Law Group in Atlanta, Georgia.
Special thanks to Tim for being on the show today, to every media specialist who stretched themselves to make school better for the kids, and thanks, as always, to each and every one of you for listening.
Tim, do you want to add to that?
Don't forget, guys, be kind, be true, be curious, and read.
Nice. Find us online at lostinthestacks.org, and you can subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and plenty of other places we don't know about.
Next week on Lost in the Stacks, we'll bring you the episode that was actually snowed out a couple of weeks ago, Ask Me Who I Was, all about our very own Dorothy Crosland.
All right. Fred couldn't be at the show today. because the plumber waits for no man. But he wrote a message for our last song, and I'm going to read it to you now. We close with a track by an artist who passed away on January 24th at age 60. For over four decades, Mark E. Smith led various lineups of The Fall, creating a sound that was at once unique and ever-evolving, and never successfully imitated. As the great BBC DJ John Peel put it, The Fall were always different and always the same. And now you know why I was making those jokes. While my head tells me that there are more important and influential rock and rollers that have passed away recently, David Bowie, Prince, many more, my heart and I agree. And this is Fred. Mark E. Smith stood as tall as any of them. This is Totally Wired by The Fall, right here on Lost in the Stacks. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Lost in the Stacks from WREK Atlanta and the Georgia Tech Library. Find us online at wrek.org/lostinthestacks to see playlists for old shows, connect with our social media, or get in touch with us.